Alright, so in this session we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to listen to Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, the CEO of Facebook. And we're going to listen to his vision of Facebook and how he presents it to the developers. This is a developer conference, F8. And I'm going to actually stop and start this and give a little bit of commentary to what he really means that he isn't saying. Because we know a lot about what's really going on with Facebook, how they make their money, what the effect of the social media things are. And so there's an enormous amount of things that he is not saying and things that he's implying that he isn't really clear about to other people that are going on here. So we're going to analyze this, break it down, and you can get a sense of what is really happening, the level of deceit and dark side that is not obvious normally. And I just want to say, first of all, I've got nothing personally against Mark Zuckerberg. Bless his heart. He's gone ahead and created world domination in a way, so good for him. But at the same time, there is a lot of shady business here that we really can't be going along with. So I'm going to go through this and you can listen. And as you listen, just remember, Mark sounds like your typical Ivy League startup tech guy, you know, who's been through different universities and he's intelligent. Yep. But what he's saying, as you'll soon discover, is absolutely a horrifying dystopian view of the world. And if his vision actually is manifested, you can see for yourself what kind of world you will be living in. So let's listen to Mark and see what he's got to say. And by the way, this is the entire thing that he's shared. I haven't removed anything apart from some little technical things that were a bit pointless, but this is almost the entire speech that he's given, exactly word for word. I've just stopped and started it. So let's go.
So you may have noticed that we rolled out some cameras across our apps recently. That was act one. Photos and videos are becoming more central to how we share than text, so the camera needs to be more central than the text box in all of our apps. So today, we're going to talk about Act 2, where we go from here. And it's tied to this broader technological trend that we've talked about before, augmented reality. Now, before we get into that, last month, I wrote a letter on building community. I have it here. It's long. It's like 6,000 words. And, you know, I'm not sure if all you guys got a chance to read every word of it, so I figured maybe we'd just start by reading it to you right now. All right. In all seriousness, this is an important time to work on building community. You know, we live at a time when society is divided, and we all have a lot of work to help bring people closer together.
So... He said a lot there, but this is a time where community is divided and we need to bring people together. Facebook has algorithms built into it that divides people further by a massive amount because it only shows people one side of the story. So by using Facebook, people are becoming progressively more and more divided than they would be otherwise, right? And he isn't acknowledging this whilst he knows full well that that is what is going on.
And when we talk about this divide, a lot of us talk about the economic issues. But I think a bigger part of the solution is social as well. We all get a lot of meaning from the communities we're a part of, and whether they're companies or churches, sports teams or volunteer groups, they give us a sense of purpose. This feeling that we're a part of something bigger than ourselves, that we're needed and that we're not alone.
So he's tapped into a real human need, the need to be part of community in a real way, right? And everyone goes, yeah, that feels good to me.
So these groups make up our social fabric, and that's why it's so striking that membership in all these groups has declined so much over the last few decades. Since the 70s, membership in all kinds of different local groups has gone down by as much as a quarter. That's a lot of people who now need to find a sense of purpose somewhere else.
That's a lot of people who now need to find a sense of purpose somewhere else. In other words, come to Facebook. Now, I did some digging into this. Why have these groups, these community groups, had decline? Do you know the reason? Yeah, there's long studies about this. The reason is because of television. Television. Once television was introduced, the amount of time people had left over after their new TV habit was a lot less. And therefore, they didn't show up in their communities. So in other words, people would rather look at a screen than be part of these groups. So here's Mark Zuckerberg saying, oh, we need these groups to feel part of something bigger than ourselves, and we need wonderful connections with others. He omits the fact that TV is the culprit that's helped these groups fall apart. And now he's saying, well, there's all these people with no groups. What are we going to do? Get them on Facebook so that they can work for us for free, and we can then make tons of money and have more power.
For the past decade, Facebook has focused on connecting friends and family.
And selling that information that you do while you're doing that to other groups so that we can control you and profit from your practices.
Now, with that foundation, our next focus is building community.
Because we've seen that screens destroy community, so we need to create an online pretend community where instead of people meeting each other in person, we now meet one-on-one on little devices in our little rooms.
We've always done a lot of work to help people share and get a diversity of opinions out there.
Although we only show you the opinions that you want to see, so you don't see the diversity of opinions.
And we're always going to do this. But now, in addition, we're also going to work on building common ground. Not just getting more different opinions out there, but also helping to bring people closer together. And there's a lot to do here. We have a full roadmap of products to help build groups and community, help build a more informed society, help keep communities safe.
Even though people are wasting their time in these fake communities and are not getting the opinion and are not getting common ground and are becoming more divided.
And we have a lot more to do here. And we're reminded of this this week by the tragedy in Cleveland. And our hearts go out to the family and friends of Robert Godwin Sr. And we have a lot of work, and we will keep doing all we can to prevent tragedies like this from happening.
So Mark is acknowledging the fact that somebody used Facebook Live to murder someone else. This guy was murdered whilst live on Facebook. So on the one hand, Facebook is making things better and safer, apparently, although it's destroying community, making people more addicted, showing them only one-sided opinions. And now people are having live murders on Facebook. And of course, he has to acknowledge that, as well as the endless amounts of terrorist information and propaganda, etc., etc., and the levels of depression and everything else, which of course he's not talking about.
Now, since this is F8, our developer conference, today we're going to focus on the technology that we're building together for the long term. Because in the future, technology is going to keep making us more productive, and that's going to change how we all work.
So in the future, technology is going to make us more productive and change how we work. Technology has made us productive in some ways, but this endless distraction, which he's promoting, is actually making people less productive. There's endless studies showing that when people are multitasking, going back and forth between Facebook and deep work, they can't do any quality work. So it's actually making people progressively less productive.
It's going to free us up to spend more time on the things we all care about, like enjoying and interacting with each other and expressing ourselves in new ways.
Now, this is one of the most funny things. It's going to free up our time so we can enjoy spending time with one another. When he knows full well that what Facebook does is take people away from one another and get them stuck in their screen. So this is just like back to back to back hypocrisy.
In the future, I think that more of us are going to contribute to culture and society in ways that are not measured by traditional economics and GDP. A lot more of us are going to do what today is considered the arts. And that's going to form the basis of a lot of our communities. So that's why I'm so excited about augmented reality, because it's going to make it so that we can create all kinds of things that until today have only been possible in the digital world. And we're going to be able to interact with them and explore them together.
So in other words, he's not really saying we're going to be part of the arts. We're going to get a fake art. So what they've created in this, as you listen to the rest of this video, is they've created augmented reality, which is where you superimpose digital images onto real life. So in other words, the software, the technology creates the art for you. You're not creating your own art. You're adding little boxes around things and adding little funny little quirky things onto images. That isn't art. That's mindless swiping and clicking. That's just standardized pretend art. There's a difference between true original thought and just adding effects on a camera. Yeah, this is how he's saying all these nice things, more art, more wonderful, but what he's really meaning is that we're going to be able to spend more time on our devices messing around with apps and messing around with effects that give the appearance of art, when in fact it's just same old nonsense. Because when everyone has the same stuff available to them, there's nothing special about it. So it isn't really art at all. It's just people with effects.
So at last year's F8, we talked about our 10-year roadmap to give everyone in the world the power to share anything they want with anyone.
So anyone can share any old nonsense with anyone, even though it's a waste of time in most cases and isn't adding value and is taking people away from each other.
And one of the key long-term technologies that we talked about is augmented reality.
Augmented reality, again, is superimposing digital things onto real life. So in other words, getting more and more stuck in a digital world and warping the difference between the real world and this fake world. So in other words, it becomes more addictive and people take it more seriously than it deserves.
Now, we all know where we want this to get eventually, right? We want glasses or eventually contact lenses that look and feel normal, but that let us overlay all kinds of information and digital objects on top of the real world.
That's probably one of the most scary things he said. We all know what we want. We want glasses or contact lenses that allow us to overlay digital images on the real world. So in other words, his vision, which he's working towards and getting us to buy into, is imagine having a contact lens in your eye so that instead of you seeing what you're seeing now, you're seeing digital things. So it's almost like having a computer in your head, essentially. So you're seeing through a computer screen, literally. That's what he's celebrating. This to me is one of the most scary things he said, and he's very serious about it as well. We know what we all want, glasses or contact lenses so that we're constantly plugged in and seeing things that aren't really here, which means people could put ads in your actual eye. You could be wandering around and getting messages from friends and stuff straight into your mind, yeah? It's not that you pick up the screen is now in your head, and this is what he's saying is what we want.
So we can just be sitting here and we want to play chess. Snap, here's a chessboard and we can play together. You want to watch TV, we can put a digital TV on that wall, and instead of being a piece of hardware, it's a $1 app instead of a $500 piece of equipment. So think about how many of the things that we have in our lives actually don't need to be physical. They can be digital. And think about how much better and more affordable and accessible they're going to be when they are.
So in other words, let's do away with anything physical and let's just spend all our time looking through our contact lenses, living in a digital world. And while you're at it, everything that you do is going to be captured by Facebook and then sold to marketing companies.
Think about going to Rome on vacation and having information about the Colosseum overlaid on the actual building or directions overlaid on the actual street.
Wouldn't it be better to have everything digitally instead of actually enjoying the experience and seeing what you're seeing for yourself?
And think about if your daughter is a big Harry Potter fan, for her birthday, you can change your home into Hogwarts. Although I bet some of you were hoping I'd hit the toilet paper button. Now, we're all about extending the physical world online.
We're all about extending the physical world online. So no need to be in the physical world anymore. We can just look through our special contact lenses and live in a digital world instead.
When you become friends with someone on Facebook, your relationship gets stronger.
Actually, your relationship doesn't get stronger. In fact, we end up with a whole bunch of lightweight, superficial relationships that have proven to lead to depression and a feeling of loneliness. Can you see what's going on here? It's back-to-back lies.
When you join a community online, that physical community gets stronger.
Although actually, it doesn't really, because people spend less time together and more time online. And the reason that communities, physical communities, have declined is because of time with screens.
So augmented reality is going to help us mix the digital and the physical in all new ways, and that's going to make our physical reality better. So that's why this...
Augmented reality is going to make our physical reality better because now we're looking at these pretend things instead of connecting with what is really here.
Such an important trend. Now, when we talk about augmented reality, there are three important use cases that we think about. The ability to display information, like directions or messages or notifications. The ability to add digital objects, like the chessboard or the TV screen I was talking about. And the ability to enhance existing objects, like your home or your face.
And remember, this is all in the virtual world. So instead of somebody actually looking after their health and making their skin nicer, they can just have a physical version of augmented reality digital upgrade to their skin so that the virtual version of them looks better, although their actual health hasn't changed. And overlaying information on the physical world, you could put spam and hate mail and nasty images all over the world. And when people wander around, they see all this dark stuff, graffiti, on blank walls, as you'll soon see. And then creating physical objects that aren't there, in other words, hallucinations. So if you're wandering around with these contact lenses on, hallucinating things that aren't there, can you imagine what kind of chaos this would create on the roads if people are driving around and now they're seeing cars that aren't there, or they're seeing all these things on the roads? Yeah, this could lead to serious amounts of traffic accidents because if people have these contact lenses on, yeah, you're told you're not supposed to be texting and driving. But if they're in your actual eye, you'll be seeing texts coming in your eye. You'll be seeing strange things on the streets that people add. Yeah, this is scary business, and this is what he is considering the best thing ever.
Now, I used to think that glasses were going to be the first mainstream augmented reality platform, and that we'd get them, you know, maybe 5 or 10 years from now, we'd get the form factor that we all want. But over the last couple of years, we've started to see primitive versions of each of these use cases on our phones and cameras. So for displaying information, we've all seen people take photos and write text on them, or circle things or draw arrows to highlight information. For digital objects, we have games like Pokemon, where you can overlay a digital Pokemon on top of the real world in front of you. And for enhancements, we have things like face filters and style transfers to make our images and videos more fun. Now, a lot of people look at this stuff, and it seems so basic, right? And you ask, you know, maybe this is just, you know, what kids are into doing these days. But, you know, we look at this, and we see something different. We see the beginning of a new platform. We're not using primitive tools today because we prefer primitive tools. We're using primitive tools because we're still early in the journey to create better ones. And in order to create better tools, first we need an open platform where any developer in the world can build for augmented reality without having to first build their own camera and get a lot of people to use it. But when you look around at all the different cameras that are out there today, no one has built a platform yet. So today, we're going to start building this platform together. And we're going to make the camera the first mainstream augmented reality platform. So if you take one thing away from today, this is it, right here. We're making the camera the first augmented reality platform.
Now, what does that mean? It means that your camera on your phone, you can now look through the camera and see things in the real world, see digital images superimposed on top of your camera. So, for example, you could be walking around in a city and your camera, you can look at a wall and there's nothing there on the wall physically, but the camera knows where you are, the phone knows where you are, and it knows that there's now a message on that wall. So you could see things that aren't really there through your camera. Everyone's very happy about that.
So for those of you who watched us roll out cameras across all our apps and you wondered what we might have been doing, that was Act 1. This is Act 2. Giving developers the power to build for augmented reality in the first augmented reality platform, the camera. All right, so let's take a look at what this is going to look like. All right, so you're going to be able to swipe to the camera, and you're going to start discovering effects that your friends are using and that are relevant to the place you're at nearby. And you're going to be able to scroll through all the effects, and there are going to be a lot of them. Now, we're going to start today with all the basic effects that you're used to. Right. Face masks, art frames, style transfers. And now, since this is an open platform, you're going to be able to create your own. And instead of having maybe 10 or 20 options to choose from, you're going to have thousands of options from creators all over the world, from all different kinds of cultures and backgrounds and styles.
So instead of actually enjoying your life and spending time with real people, what you're going to be able to do is take pictures of yourself wearing silly hats and masks and then share them with other people and invest your time in all this silly nonsense.
And this is launching in beta today. Now, this is just the first step, though. So we have a lot crazier stuff that I want to show you that's going to be coming soon. So now, for real augmented reality, you don't just want the ability to do those tools. You also want the ability to have realistic 3D objects. And in order to do that, you need to have a platform that gives them precise location, a realistic relationship with objects around them in their environment. So there's an AI technique for doing this called simultaneous localization and mapping, or SLAM, for those of you in the AI community. And here's how this works. So you're going to be able to easily create anything you want. You can write a fun message next to your breakfast, and it's going to be able to slide onto the table. And since we understand the depth of the table, you saw it was occluded in the right place as it came up. And you're going to be able to pan around, and it's going to maintain its position on the table exactly as if it were a real object in the world. So we can make this more fun. Let's add some breakfast sharks swirling around my bowl, some clouds. And you know, there you go. It's got the depth right, so when they go behind the bowl, they're occluded. It gets the depth of the table and all that. All right, so there's some pretty involved AI work to make this all work. And we can do this on a phone. So but we're just getting started. This is just the first one that I want to show you. These are the technological foundations for advanced AR. Let's go to the next one. Now, since we're mapping out these scenes in 3D, right, since we have the depth of an image, we can go from taking a still photo to mapping out a whole 3D scene. So this actually was taken from a 2D still image in our office in Seattle.
So what he's talking about, because you're not seeing the picture, is that you can take a photograph, like let's say a breakfast bowl, and then you can add some 3D text into the scene and move around and it looks like it's a real object. You can add another cup, didn't exist before, another cup, and you can add clouds, and you can turn 2D images into 3D images. And all this sounds kind of vaguely interesting, you know, fascinating, but what's not being said here is that all of these things are basically a waste of time. They're not adding actual value to anyone. It's just silly distraction. It's just like in the past, people would watch movies and cartoons, and they still do. And then you have 3D movies. Now you have 3D Facebook and 3D pictures. It doesn't actually make anyone any happier. It's just entertainment. And what they're basically wanting to do is to get people so addicted to this and so consumed in it and take it so seriously, because once you turn something 2D into 3D and once you put it in someone's eye and once you add virtual reality, then even though he talks about making community and looking after community, what's really going to happen is you're going to have a large number of absolutely plugged in constantly, literally constantly plugged in, because if it's in a contact lens, have millions of people constantly plugged in, believing that this virtual digital reality is real, merging these, mixing these two things together, and then having a bit of a hard time to tell the difference between what's actually there and what isn't there, right? And so no one's questioning this, saying, hang on a minute, is this psychologically healthy to be spending hours and hours and hours every day plugged into a virtual world that doesn't actually exist and ignoring what is going on around us really? This isn't even being questioned. So I'm just going to skip forward a bit. He's explaining some of these things. You can move this around. We'll just carry on.
Help you surface relevant effects that you want to check out. So you're going to be able to tap on the coffee mug, and we're going to surface effects that are relevant to coffee. All right, so you're going to add steam. You can add a second coffee mug, so it looks like you're not drinking, you're not having breakfast alone.
Right, so if you have a picture of a coffee on a table, you can add another coffee mug, and you can add steam coming off it. Who's benefiting from this, apart from spending time on Facebook? Yeah, does it really matter? This isn't art. This is just messing around with effects.
And since it's a digital object, you can make it bigger if you want, or smaller. You can make it any size you want. You can tap on the plant. You can add flowers that are blooming. You can water the plant with a rain cloud, or whatever else it is that you do with plants, I guess. You can tap on the wine bottle, and you can add an information card, right? That shows what the vintage of the wine is, and what the rating is, and maybe where to get it, or maybe in the future even a link to buy it.
Now, what you just said there is key. Maybe even a link to buy it. So what's going to happen is that once people are into this augmented reality, you'll be wandering around and you will see things in the real world that you can perhaps buy online. So you'll be wandering around and see a chair, and it'll have a little price tag next to it, and you can click on it in your head and have it sent to your house. Or you might be looking at photographs in Facebook of other people, and you see things in the scene. Like if I took a picture of my desk, you might be able to buy the computer I'm sitting in front of, or you might be able to buy this cafetiere or the cup of tea or whatever, or magazine, and buy all this stuff, right? So in other words, this is how advertisers can put their products inside of people's lives. So you can be wandering around in your normal life with actually advertisings popping up at you whilst you're wandering around. Now, of course, he didn't expand on that, or maybe in the future, a link to buy it. The whole point of all this is that you will be able to have a link to buy it. So this is kind of an afterthought, but really it's not an afterthought. The whole thing's designed so that you can end up buying stuff, because if it wasn't for advertisers paying for this, then he wouldn't be able to be doing all these things.
There are going to be some of these effects are going to be fun, and others are going to be useful. So in augmented reality, you're going to be able to do all this different stuff. So these are three of the technological building blocks for building augmented reality.
So part of it is fun, and some of it is useful. Useful means money, yeah? You can turn it into products, then sell things. So the fun is for the customer, but the useful is for the advertisers. And to Facebook, and you have to remember this, Facebook, the advertisers are the customers. So the people just using it for fun are the ones who are just basically working for free for Facebook so that advertisers can come in and sell them stuff. Of course, he doesn't mention this because it would ruin the fun.
Location, 3D effects, and object recognition. But now that we've gone through some of the technology, let's take a look at some of the use cases that you're going to be able to build and do. All right, so let's start with the most basic. This is an AR tool that Nike created for helping you visualize and share your runs in some fun new ways. Now, in augmented reality, we are going to face near constant reminders that Ime is in better shape than us.
So in the future and in the present, you're going to see reminders that other people are better than us. At least he admits it. He was doing it in a comical way, made people laugh. But this is actually already going on. So he's making light of it, but actually this is causing a lot of depression.
May is probably out for a run right now before he comes on stage in 20 minutes. Now, look, we all do things like this every day, like running, you know, everyday things. Running, cleaning our home, doing laundry, changing diapers, and...
He had a bit of a hard time what everyday things are, because he's a billionaire who doesn't do everyday things normally, apart from running.
The reality is we're proud of these things, right? We want to express them. But we often don't get a chance to do that because they feel mundane, right? It doesn't feel special enough to share. So
we do everyday things, we want to express them, but they feel mundane. Most of our life is mundane, right? And why would you want to share it? And what's the point? And is it, do you really want to express everything you're doing anyway? So this isn't being questioned.
You know, too often we don't share them unless we have something that makes that moment funny or feel like it's going to be relevant to other people. So as silly as effects like this might seem, they actually are really important and meaningful because they give us the ability to share what matters to us on a daily basis.
So, in other words, if you add effects to boring things, then you might want to share them because now Facebook's technology has allowed you to use it more often because it's made boring things more interesting, thus giving more power to the company and wasting more people's time in trivial nonsense that shouldn't be shared in the first place.
What about games? Now, more than a billion of us play games. And I think that there's going to be a whole new genre of augmented reality games coming. So here's an example of a father playing an augmented reality game with his kids in the waiting room at the doctor's office, where he's using the table in the waiting room as the game board for a tower defense game, and the kids can kind of slap the bad guys before they get to you. Now,
of course, having kids playing games and living in a virtual world is psychologically damaging for them, makes them highly addicted to tech, and makes it very challenging for them to be able to tell the difference between what's real and what isn't, because they're too young to be able to handle it. None of this, of course, is being mentioned. When children get addicted to technology and you try and take it away, they have tantrums. And why not talk to your kids? Because it's easier to sort of mess around with screens. So all of this is not being questioned what is really the effect of all this stuff. It's extremely dark stuff here that is being seen as a wonderful celebration.
There's going to be a lot of awesome stuff like this that comes, and I'm pretty excited about this. This part of the platform is going to come a bit later this year. Let's talk about art. Now, with augmented reality, you're going to be able to create and discover all kinds of new art around your city. So, you know...
All right. You're going to be able to create and discover new art, to create and discover. So in other words, if someone writes something on a wall, like Jews go home, or like Islam, you know, it's a negative speech, or, you know, just evil stuff, I hate you or whatever, right? You'll be wandering around and you'll see it on these virtual walls. They're not graffiti, but it's basically graffiti on the wall. Of course, you could put nice messages as well, but chances are, just like Facebook is mostly full of hate speech and nasty stuff and gossip, that's what it's mostly going to be made of.
This is a piece at Facebook headquarters. And, you know, without augmented reality, this actually just looks like a blank wall. But when you are in augmented reality, you get this beautiful piece of art that's not just a painting on the wall, but it fills up the whole space. And it's 3D, and not only that, it's something that would be impossible to build or make in reality, because you have this infinite waterfall of paint coming down, and it's really quite something to look at. Now, one thing that's kind of a funny side effect of this is that now around Facebook, we notice that there are just people gathering around looking at blank walls.
There are now people gathering around just looking at blank walls. Do you hear what he said? Why are they doing it? Because they're seeing stuff that isn't really there on a blank wall. Right? And by the way, this is not new. People are wandering around looking at their screens all the time as well, bumping into each other.
So, you know, this is going to be a thing in the future, right? I mean, it's just, you know, people just kind of sitting around and staring at blank walls. So we actually put a physical plaque on this wall to commemorate that this is, we think this is going to be one of the first pieces of augmented reality street art in the world. But there's a lot more like this coming.
So this is going to be a thing of the future where people are just sitting around looking at blank walls. And not only, so this is a big problem, having loads of people staring at a blank wall. That's not healthy behavior, right? But what are they doing? Instead of saying, this is a big problem, we better put a stop to it, because you're going to get all these zombies looking at things that aren't there, they're now commemorating it with a plaque.
Now, one of the things that I've always wanted to do is leave notes for friends at different places. And in order to do this, you need to have a really precise sense of location. So this isn't just about, you know, finding a Pokemon within a one block radius. You need a very exact location. So I'm talking about sharing a note to tell your friend what the best special is right next to the sign of the specials at a restaurant. Or marking your table at the local dive bar that you go to with your friends. Or leaving a note for your wife on the refrigerator. And so some of the stuff I think is going to be really special.
So you can leave notes to people in this virtual reality, augmented reality. And like we talked about, guess who's going to use this the most? People who hate other people, right? So you're going to have bullying happening. So someone might be wandering around at school and they sit down at their desk. And they have, I hate you, I'm going to kill you, written in blood on their desk when they look down in this augmented reality. Of course, you could have someone say, I love you, you're so wonderful. But majority is going to be pretty dark stuff, because that is, generally speaking, what ends up happening with this stuff.
All right. So those are...
And even if it isn't all this dark stuff, which of course it will be, but even if it wasn't, it's taking people away from the immediate present into this virtual world that isn't really there, right? And so they're not here. So you might have someone sitting in front of you, but they're not actually really paying attention. And if you can't pay attention and you can't be here, what kind of life do you have?
A few of the examples of what we're doing for this augmented reality platform. And like I said, it starts in closed beta today. I want to be really clear and you know, set expectations that it's going to take a while for this to develop. There's a lot in here that we're going to roll out over time. Your experience isn't going to change dramatically overnight. It's going to take a while to roll some of these things out, and then even longer for developers to actually start building all these experiences. But over time, I do think that this is going to be a really important technology that changes how we use our phones and eventually all of technology. And this is a technology, this is the kind of technology problem that we love to solve and build. Because there's a long roadmap of technology to build for years. And so even if we were a little slow to add cameras to all our apps, I'm confident that now we're going to push this augmented reality platform forward.
So he's confident to create a virtual world superimposed on the real world and get people addicted to it.
Long term, all the work that we're doing here is going to go into the glasses that we all want. It's all the same.
It's going to go into glasses that we all want. Does everyone really want to wear glasses so that you're literally plugged into the internet and seeing all this nonsense all day long?
Technology, and this is another step on the path there. All right. Now, we have a lot more to talk about over the next couple of days that relates to the 10-year roadmap to give everyone the power to share anything they want with anyone. We're going to talk about AI. We're going to show you some of the AI work that goes into making this augmented reality platform work.
AI is artificial intelligence.
A lot of the other stuff that we're building. We're going to talk about virtual reality, and we're going to launch our first social virtual reality product.
So now they're adding virtual reality. So instead of people meeting in person, they're now creating a virtual world so you can meet other people in a pretend environment with a pretend you, extending the false sense of self. So Facebook is already, you know, vanity and false information about you. Now you can create a virtual version of yourself and interact with other virtual versions of other people, having this false reality between one fake version of someone versus another fake version of someone, right? Instead of actually learning how to enjoy real life.
Virtual reality and augmented reality go hand in hand. And this virtual reality experience is gonna give you a taste of what it's like to have this real sense of presence with your friends, no matter where they are in the world. And
real sense of presence with your friends, no matter where they are in the world. Well, it actually, really, it won't do that. It sounds like that, but what it's actually going to do is take people away from a real sense of presence into a virtual world. I mean, it's fun in a way, and I might try it myself, all these different things, but they're not going to. It's just hilarious how they talk about this.
Start interacting with all kinds of digital objects on the road to fully augmented reality. We're also launching the next generation of Messenger platform. We already have AI that helps businesses answer all kind of questions from their customers.
So in other words, there's now all these robots that answer people. So Messenger, what does it do? It stops people talking to each other on the phone. One of the later speakers said, no one likes phoning businesses. No one likes phoning. So now we have all these robots answering questions for you. Just like phoning up the phoning up businesses and getting those annoying answer messages. Press 1 for this, press 2 for this. Now you've got the same thing on Facebook Messenger, because, good God, would anyone want to ever talk to another human these days?
Today we're going to launch a bunch of Discover tools that are going to help you find the businesses and bots that you want to interact with on the platform. Tomorrow we're going to update you on all of our work around connectivity. We have our team in Arizona right now preparing for the second flight of Aquila, our solar-powered plane that's going to help beam down internet connectivity to people all around the world. And we're going to update you on a lot of the other technology that we're building too. And you're also going to hear from Regina Dugan about some of the work that we're doing in Building 8.
Now, this is scary, scary stuff. All right, if it wasn't scary enough, this is even worse. Building 8. What are they doing in Building 8? They're building mind-reading technology so that not only are you going to be looking through contact lenses at a virtual world, you're also going to have your mind read at the same time. And where is all this mind-reading stuff going to go? It's going to go into their pockets. It's going to go into their system so that they can now show you images in your eyes and they can read your mind. Yeah, that's actually what they're talking about.
Further out beyond augmented reality, and that includes work around direct brain interfaces that are going to eventually one day let you communicate using only your mind.
Direct brain interface. So you don't need to type, it goes straight from your mind into the app. So not only are they showing you things, they're also reading your mind.
Now, that stuff is really far out, but she actually has some pretty interesting stuff that she's going to talk about tomorrow. All right, so that's what we're working on. We're building tools to give everyone the power to share what they want, and I'm really excited about this augmented reality platform and all the stuff that we're going to be able to create with it. And this is an important time for us to work on technology like this, because we all have a lot of work to build community and bring people closer together.
Build community and bring people closer together. We're all working on making people live in a virtual reality, divorced from the real world and divorced from real community.
As always, it is an honor to be on this journey with you. So thank you all for coming out. And now I'm going to hand it off to our Chief Technology Officer, Mike Schreffer, to talk about AI, the augmented reality platform. Have a great F8.
And off he goes. Now, if you're not horrified and shocked by this, then perhaps you should listen to this again and what the implications of it. Do you want to live in a world where Facebook reads your mind, where you look through contact lenses so that you, instead of seeing the real world, you're seeing a virtual world in front of the real world, and where you live in a virtual reality? I'll let you decide what is going on. Many blessings.